First Corinthians chapter 1. Now I'll have Jacob help share this in just a few minutes. It says there in verse 11, "For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters."
Some of you are saying, "I am a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of this senator or that house member, this preacher or that preacher, this God or that religion." Others are saying, "I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I only follow Christ." And Paul says, "Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Was I, Vince, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul?" Of course not. He says there back in verse 10, rather, the end of the verse, "Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." And our thought and purpose is God's Word. Just a few weeks ago, there were some discussions about this version of the Bible and this interpretation, and someone had said that certain versions of the Bible have verses missing. That's only half true. And we know that, in fact, I told the Air Force folks this morning, and we were talking about benefits, I said that something that is 50% true is 100% false. Now, just for clarity, for those of you watching on YouTube or wherever, the Bible says that God's Word is living and active. It's like a two-edged sword. It's living means that it has a power to change you, to change your mind, to change your heart. And we believe at Generations that God's Word is the final authority for faith and practice. And when we get the theology right, we're unified in that. And so getting back to these other translations, there are verses that are not in the text. But usually those Bibles will note that this verse is not found in the earliest of manuscripts. Keep in mind that the 1611 version of the Bible, the King James Version, which most people would recognize as being a very authentic piece, which it is, however, it's from 1600. And now we have found manuscripts that are older, that do not contain those verses. And so what the community believes is that those scholars believe, and a few of those that wrote the NLT were my professors in seminary, they believe that those verses did not exist after redactions, because they didn't line up with what the way the author, the original author, wrote. Grammatically, it wasn't their style. And so some scribes either misscribed or they added in various places those verses. However, we found those errors, if you want to call them errors, but they're not really errors. And so that's why you'll find some versions of the Bible don't have a verse in a certain place, but it'll always know why it's so. Usually, and almost always, it's because the older manuscripts that was used in the King James Version, it's called the Textus Receptus, if you care to know. And that was the Greek version of the Greek text that was used to create the 1611 version of the King James Bible. And now we have found manuscripts, for instance, like at the Dead Sea, that have older versions, for instance, of the book of John, which is where some of these verses appear to be missing. So when I say the Bible is the final authority of faith and practice, I'm saying, in summary, that we allow the Word of God to direct the way that we should think. We allow God's Word to direct the way we should act. And when we love our neighbor as ourselves, and when we act rightly, and we act goodly, there's unity. We are individually responsible to get it right, to do what's right. Let's not go so high that we don't, you know, the old days you'd say, you live righteously, or you live in righteousness, as the Bible would say. What's that really mean? It means to do the right thing. But what the right thing is not based on little hairs on the back of your neck. It's not based on intuitions. It's not based on some high-minded authority, because in Romans 1, Paul said that speculations and worldly influence cause all manner of suffering and even wickedness. And so when we think about right, try to do the right thing, the Bible teaches us what the right thing is. And so we want to hold the scripture as something that's very high as an authority. And we want to do what it says. And when there's unity in the church, especially unity on doctrine, we find that we come together to love our neighbor as ourselves. We actually take care of people's needs. We actually provide resources for those that are hungry or for those that don't have a place to live. We don't want to share things on purpose to get people upset, because that's not good, yet we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to Generations Church, and I will call sin, sin. And if you don't agree, you're wrong when the Bible says it, because we're all held by the standard of Scripture. But out of the unity that we're trying to develop, especially with the prayer campaign, and I hope you will all join us in the prayer campaign, please, we need to be praying for one another. I find it a joy and a privilege to pray for you all the time. I've been doing it my entire life, my entire career as a minister. I pray for you all the time. Now I hope you all pray for me all the time. I'm sure you do. But what an opportunity we have here to pray for each other. And we can really act how we talk. And out of that unity comes missions like Minnesota Good Works. We support a ministry like Minnesota Good Works of folks that are tore up in a bad way in their lives, that they have tremendous amounts of suffering are going on. And we have an opportunity here to flesh out and love our neighbor as ourselves. And with many of the folks that are going to be recipients of the ministry of Minnesota Good Works, that's one of the ways that the church can share the love of Jesus Christ with those that are suffering. And you know what? That's really, really good. It's really good. So Jake is going to share. Jake, come on up and share. His mom, Donna, was supposed to present with us today, but she's feeling ill. And so Jake is stepping up to the plate, and he's going to share with us the ministry of Minnesota Good Works and how you might be involved and exactly what it is what they're doing. And we do support Minnesota Good Works on an annual basis and as supporting as missionaries, and we want to continue to do that, and we support Jake. Give him a big hand.
Thank you, Vince. And hello, everybody. So Donna's really sad she could not be here. As was mentioned, she's feeling ill. So I just ask that you all pray for her as she recovers from her horrendous migraine that she's experiencing. So unfortunately, you don't get to see her beautiful face. You get to see mine, which she probably likes anyway, because she's not an ostentatious individual. So, but we're here to talk about Minnesota Good Works. Minnesota Good Works is founded on the verse from Titus 3:14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, so that they may not be unfruitful. Oops, wrong side. Okay, that picture was taken when we were at our launch event for Topgolf. Who we are here at Minnesota Good Works? We work to engage, cultivate, and restore people back into their communities. Minnesota Good Works is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to, as mentioned, engage, cultivate, and restore those individuals into the community. And so these individuals, they have really horrible life experiences. We'll get into some statistics as we go on here, but it was very just disheartening and gut-wrenching, honestly, when I was looking into this and looking into statistics and figures and things like that. So I'm grateful that we're stepping in to fill some gaps here, but we'll touch that as we go on as well. Some of our key principles are that we collaborate with partners to fill gaps in the community. We aim, obviously, to be good stewards with any donations, anything that is given to us by God and anybody who wants to support us. And then also, obviously, with us being an unapologetic Christian organization, we aim to let the Holy Spirit guide everything that we do. Okay, now let's get into some statistics. Human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's very sad, very true. The odds are against trafficking victims because it's incredibly hard for them to get out. One statistic that I wanted to share with you guys that is not in the upcoming slides is, it's unfortunate, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to personally get involved, is because on average, most people that attempt to get out are touched by the system in some way 7 to 14 different times before they get freedom from that life. That was something that really touched me. I was just thinking about different situations in which, you know, people might seek help in one direction, and then they try it, doesn't work. Then they fall back into the life. They try a second time, third time, what have you. And it's just a constant back and forth. So Minnesota Good Works is really, really aiming to tackle the recidivism rate of people constantly going back into the life and actually get them the long-lasting freedom that they need. The third thing is human trafficking is currently in your backyard. We constantly think of, you know, big major hubs, you know, Chicago, California, so on and so forth, as the only, you know, really where we only need to be concerned with it. I recently shared something on the Minnesota Good Works page. There was a recent story of a gentleman in St. Paul who was found guilty of exploitation of young girls, of 1,100 young girls. And that was something, I believe it was, he was charged just within the last month in the St. Paul area. Again, human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry. For reference, annually it's about $150 billion. Just for a reference, same general revenue of Costco each year, annually. Every 26 seconds, a child is sold or in some fashion brought into the life of human trafficking. Studies in Minnesota do show that 17% of youth have engaged in some kind of transaction for their basic needs. So a lot of times what will happen is somebody will become homeless, a young child will become homeless, and then they start to get hungry or they need shelter because they're out on their own, they don't have what they need. So somebody comes along, hey, I'll give you food, shelter, and different things like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start to build these relationships with these individuals, and then eventually it turns into the unfortunate situation of them beginning to be trafficked to other individuals around the area. Sorry. 26% of women do report being offered help at some point. That goes back to my earlier indication that women... or people in general, it's both women and men, but it is predominantly women. They are touched by the system in some way 7 to 14 different times. This is also a very sad thing. 42%, at least that we know of currently, of current victims were often trafficked by a family member in some way, shape, or fashion. Those family members, obviously, are somebody you want to believe you can trust and believe in. And then you, oftentimes, kids might do something for a family member because, well, they're my family member. They're not going to hurt me. They want what's best for me, right? And so that's not always the case, unfortunately. And Unfortunately, a great chunk of that is often due to a family member's interaction. Sorry, my mouth's getting a little dry. I apologize. All right. Currently, the FBI does rate Minnesota as the number 3 state in the country for sex trafficking, or human trafficking in general. Thank you. Generally speaking, youth do experience sexual exploitation within 48 hours of being homeless. That goes back to what I mentioned again, of people needing food, shelter, clothing, what have you. People coming in within 48 hours of these individuals' lives to be, hey, I'm going to come and provide these things for you. Then another sad thing, the average age of somebody experiencing exploitation in the state of, or just in general on the federal level, is the age of 13. That could be, you know, your daughter, that could be a cousin, that could be a granddaughter, what have you, 13 years old. You know, and I mean, it's it happens sometimes that, you know, you meet somebody on the street, they start to develop a relationship with these individuals. And then, like, oh, I say a boyfriend-girlfriend situation, this person loves me, they wouldn't hurt me. You know, and then they... a lot of times these individuals do come from unstable environment, unstable home lives, which leads off obviously to them being homeless a lot of times. And so they'll try to go out on their own. They meet these other individuals. And unfortunately, things ensue from there. The FBI also has identified the Twin Cities as one of 13 U.S. cities with the highest incidence of child prostitution. So one of the top 13 cities, or one of the top 13 areas, rather, identified by the FBI is here in the Twin Cities for child exploitation. As we talk about here in the States, so the highways are major traffic zones for traffickers. Any big sporting events, Super Bowl, like when the Super Bowl was here several years ago, it was a huge hotbed for sex trafficking. Mall of America, reservations are big, the Duluth Harbors are big. It's really anywhere you can think of. The borders are always massive for that. In fact, a lot of times, and this is more on the federal level, but if you get into border situations, a lot of times when children will come across the border, they will have different colored wristbands around their wrists to identify how much is owed or how much needs to be paid back to individuals that smuggle them across the line, and then it often leads to that child then being sex trafficked to pay back what is owed for them to get across the border. So how are we serving Minnesota Good Works? We have a big, huge goal, but we're starting with the human trafficking. We also aim to assist elderly, veterans, and employed persons at war, any other vulnerable individuals, as well as the homeless as well. We all know homeless is a huge issue too. We have the fifth pillar is other vulnerable, because we don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody, you know, there may be somebody that doesn't meet these four different criteria, but we don't want to shut the door on them either, because God loves them just the same. So what we do, we aim to fill gaps, just to tie into what Vince had mentioned from 1 Corinthians about how the church is there to fill gaps and be the hands and feet, right? Vince briefly touched on that. This, again, was taken at our Topgolf event. We were so happy to have people join us. There was, I think, roughly about 100 people there. I could be there. We're having our upcoming gala in November, so I'm excited for that. Things are coming together. So a lot of times what happens, and with trafficking right now, there's mainly two different things going on. One, There's a lot of organizations raising awareness. So, you know, human trafficking is a huge issue. It needs to be tackled. You know, they have these different conferences, different things like that to help educate people on the issue. Or two, they have what are called aftercare programs. And what that is, that's where clients are, they want to get out of the life, right? And then they go into a program, and then it's for a set period of time, they get clean, sober, what have you. They try to develop some type of ability to function on their own, you know, apart from that prior life. But then the issue becomes, when they're out of that program, there's nowhere for them to turn. There's no assistance, nothing. And so that's what Minnesota Good Works is aiming to fill. Through the enrichment program that Donna developed, and I know she wishes she could be here to expand on this more, the goal of Minnesota Good Works is to pair up these girls coming out of trafficking. And right now we are bringing in a couple ladies into the program right now. They've been paired up with a mentor that will be with them for a minimum of 2 years to help them day-to-day with whatever they may be struggling with, right? They may be struggling with some mental health issues, emotional, spiritual, physical health issues. It's a wide range of things. So we are aiming to tackle all of those different things so that when they are restored, quote-unquote, back to the creation that God always wants them to be, then they're able to function in everyday society and not have to deal or have the desire to go back into that life. One thing I know Donna had included was with survivors, she had met with one of the survivors or that's currently in a program, like an aftercare style program, and they were having a conversation. And I may be paraphrasing a bit here, but the individual basically said, you know, we know what it means to live in the dark. We've lived it our entire life. We don't know what that means to live in the light, to function day to day, have a job, have stable relationships, all these different things, right? And so that's, again, why Minnesota Good Works is focusing on all-encompassing health, because we want to help them not just get out of the life, but help them establish good, healthy boundaries, learn job skills, get housing, meet those basic needs so that these individuals can live that free life apart from that and then have no desire to go back into that because they realize how valuable they are and what God sees in them. Oops. Oh, I didn't. Okay. Right, so to touch on, again, what we are aiming to do here at Minnesota Good Works, again, a lot of these issues are surrounding basic needs. Another thing I would like to mention as well is, unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times these individuals, because they don't have basic needs, oftentimes it is housing, right? They will then go to homeless shelters. Well, guess what? Their traffickers know that too. So the traffickers will then circle around the homeless shelters and interact with these women again and pull them back into the life. So it's just oftentimes a revolving door, and it's because they don't have those basic needs. One thing that we are aiming to do as well is a lot of times because these young women are trafficked at such a young age, they do not have the job skills oftentimes to get anything more than like an entry-level style job, right? So that they can live on their own. So you run into a lot of young women who will sit there and say, okay, well, I can work at McDonald's for a certain period of time, but what sense is that? Why am I working so hard, right, to make this little bit of money when I can go on the street and make more in 2 hours? That's often what you would hear. And so a program that Donna is working on and we're hoping to get off the ground soon is a program where we will work with employers who are aiming to assist these women coming out of this program and help pay the cost and front the cost for some of the employment. So the employer's not taking such a risk because they know that we're there to help, take on some of that financial burden as these individuals do learn those job skills, so that when they are able to, they can get into a long-term stable job where they can get those basic needs based on what they make in their day-to-day jobs. Being the village, we often talk about, the Bible talks about it all the time, right? In Romans, it talks about how each one of us is a part of the body, and we each serve a unique purpose. Well, that's what Minnesota Good Works is aiming to do, is to work with the community as well, to get everybody who's willing and able to come alongside us and really tackle this issue so that these women aren't going back into that life. Again, physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental health are the main struggles that these women are facing. Oftentimes, they never really learn proper relational skills and how to deal with people. And so that obviously that's going to struggle with their day-to-day, with their interactions with any family members, even on a job, or even if they're looking to try to develop relationships with individuals in the community in general. Why? Because a lot of times individuals that, if they try to develop relationships with these individuals, they don't know how to relate to these individuals that came, or relate to these ladies that came out of these processes. So it kind of creates a barrier, and there's not a lot of healthy relationship building skills. And obviously we are aiming to ultimately have these ladies see the value and understanding rooting their life in Christ and everything that flows from that. So, all right, what sets Minnesota Good Works apart? Again, as I mentioned, we are unapologetically a Christian organization. The other thing that is a big struggle is with safe harbor funding. So safe harbor funding goes from the age of 18 to 24. Oftentimes, a lot of organizations will only help children. And so Minnesota Good Works is aiming to help adults after the ages of 18 to 24, because after you hit that age, there's no government funding, there's no assistance, nothing. And so it's just kind of like, okay, well, you're now 25, good luck. Yeah. 100% of your donations goes directly to each participant that comes in. And also, we do not, and this is purposefully, we do not accept any government funding whatsoever. Also, how you can help, you can sign up for our social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. And then you can also sign up for to be a monthly donor or fund a specific need for the individual. You can sign up to be a volunteer, mentor, board member, anything like that. And then we will we have a vetting process people go through for those different positions. And obviously, we would like to invite each of you all out to the gala on November 10th. We're going to have a silent and live auction. There's going to be a couple musical guests there. To share their talents, and a few games as well that you can play. So to wrap it up, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you to Vince and Darcy for giving the opportunity to share this, and for obviously their willingness to provide their financial support to Minnesota Good Works as well as we aim to tackle this issue. Donna's information is included there on the slide. You can reach her through email, that contact number, and then the website for the Minnesota Good Works is also listed there. You can sign up for the gala that we have upcoming on the website as well. So thank you all for your time, and I hope to see you guys involved and get your guys' support. Thank you.
Thank you. You want to contribute specifically to them, and we'll make sure they get it. Worship team, would you come?